You're listening to sermon audio from Gospelite Baptist Church. For more resources or to donate to this ministry, please visit gospelite.org.
Well, this has been so fun. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In that very first verse of this incredible chapter, we learn that Jesus leads with relationship for worry. We understand that he is my shepherd and that he leads us and we shall not want. And so we don't have to choose worry. We can choose to follow the shepherd. We then saw that he makes us lie down in green pastures and he leads us beside still waters. And in those beautiful little phrases, pastures and waters, it's almost as if we find ourselves resting. We're resting beside a beautiful still water, maybe the Sea of Galilee, or maybe it's a beautiful pasture having a picnic with our families. And we're thinking, how are we so free from stress? It's because the shepherd gives us rest from the stress as he makes us lie down, as he leads us beside still waters. And then we dove in last week. Brother Bax did a masterful job. He restores my soul. My soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And my favorite part of the sermon, I was able to come to the early service and then preach it at the Park Place campus in the second. But I heard the sermon. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And here's my favorite part, for his name's sake. I love that illustration about the reputation of God. We have an opportunity in these moments to know that we can follow the shepherd who restores us from our damaged emotions. And oftentimes we face things in life where our soul is in pain and hurting and damaged. And that can lead to so much depression and discouragement and even mental health issues. He spoke of his wife and shared that testimony in a powerful, intimate, very transparent way. But the victory is this, that if we follow the shepherd, he can restore us like he did Pastor Bax's wife. And then today, I'll quote first from the King James, the old King James, Yea, though I walk through the valley today of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. As I break down this verse this morning, phrase by phrase, I've chosen to do it from the translation of the ESV. Let me read that for you, because there is a very small change in the, especially in the beginning. It says this, that even though I walk, I'll make comment about that in just a moment. But I think the translators here, in making it more of a relevant, understandable statement, it's worthy of our concentration. And then in the CSB, which is where I usually preach from on Sunday mornings, it says, even when I go, even though, even when. Now notice right off the bat here as we introduce the message that this verse does not promise a life without valleys, but it does promise a shepherd in the valley. God doesn't always deliver us from the valley, but he will always deliver us through the valley. This is the message of verse 4. Not a promise that we'll not have valleys, just a promise that the great shepherd will lead us through it. We have a shepherd who gives us comfort. We have a shepherd who gives us refuge in the presence of fear and dark moments in life. And we all have those moments. After pastoring the same church now for 33 years, I have walked through the valley of fear and death with so many. And we've come out on the other side only to find that the good shepherd was leading us all the way. Amen. It's so true. He goes on to talk about this rod and this staff that Josh introduced a moment ago. And we'll continue to just build on that towards the end of the message. But we must understand something. That for David to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it was both literal. He was a literal shepherd. But in the text, remember, He says, the Lord is, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. So Psalm 23 was not written by a shepherd. It was rather written by a sheep. And so in a literal way, David is going to tell us literally, this is literally what I've experienced as a shepherd. But figuratively, all these years later, you and I can preach a very relevant message thousands of years later that applies to the sheep, you and me, who are following the shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want you to take a moment before we introduce these three thoughts and notice with me some interesting applications about this verse. Number one, in Israel, there is a literal valley of the shadow of death. Literal. I mean, there really is a place called the valley of the shadow of death. In January of 2027, and we had a kind of a meeting, and many people came to the meeting, and already dozens are signing up and showing interest and wanting to go to Israel. Obviously, everything would be in place and in order and safe if we do this, but we're by faith believing that God's going to open that door, and you by faith can say, hey, I'm interested, and not have to make a commitment at all until January of 2027. So it's something to consider if you haven't yet, and all the information is out on the tables until they're gone. But when I was in Israel, they take you to places like this, where sometimes it's not exactly 100% sure that this was the actual valley, but there are valleys called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. These valleys are deep. They are steep. They are in a very narrow canyon. And here's what's interesting. I found out as I studied this valley that the sun only hits the floor of the valley at high noon. Someone sent me a song after I preached this message called High Noon. Whoever you are, I can't wait to listen to it. I'm sure it's going to apply to this text. The rest of the time, the valley is dark with shadows. Thus, the valley of the shadow of death. Where does death come in? Well, let's just think for a moment. David must have been, as a shepherd, he must have brought his sheep to that valley when he was growing up. And it was a place where thieves waited to rob people. This would have been a place where wild animals were ready to pounce. It was a place where sheep would get very fearful. In fact, it was a place where they wouldn't lie down to sleep there unless they were following the shepherd. That's the only way they could not have fear. Because a sheep would only be able to run from its fear and not face its fear if it weren't following the shepherd. And so David is writing Psalm 23:4, where we're at right now in the series. And what he's doing is he's picturing times in his life where David himself would have been under threat, and it was keeping him up at night. Because David's not much different than most of us in this building. David had personal enemies. Ever had one? If you've got a personal enemy or somebody you're bitter against or somebody that's bitter against you, it'll keep you up at night. But David also, secondly, he had a colossal moral failure. I mean, it was bad. I mean, it was ugly. It was drawn out. It was a terrible, terrible time in his life. In fact, it led to David making some awful decisions that even led in the death of different people. And it was a mess. And a colossal moral failure will keep you up at night. David had a multitude of battles that he was fighting for long periods of time where he was losing soldiers left and right. That will keep you up at night. David was betrayed by his son. Listen, if you've ever had a son or a daughter get wayward from God and leave the foundations that you've taught her, the principles or the things that you've taught them to believe in, it's difficult to sleep at night. You're worried about them. David experienced that with Absalom and others. He married a crazy woman. Listen, that will definitely keep you up at night. Just throwing that in there. David lost family members tragically. That will keep you up at night. You know what I happen to know? I happen to know that after pastoring a church, this same church, for many years, that many are here this morning walking through the valleys of life. I know that. This week I received another phone call to add to the prayer list next week to the already 4 people on the prayer list this week who have cancer. Now it's 5. I was even thinking, you know, I've never put myself on the prayer list, but I had a little cancer spot on my head a year ago that I got cratered out, you know, and they found it, did a biopsy, found it to be cancer. So they, you know, dug it out and thought I'd be okay. But now I go in every 6 months, and I went in this week and I've got burnt marks all over my face and my head. If you look close enough, I had to put salve on them because now I got to go in every 6 months and get stuff burnt off my head. Crazy, isn't it? It's called getting old and walking through some valleys and just trusting God. I don't know if I should say so far so good or just say, God, I trust you, whatever you have. I have no doubt in my mind there are more people out here who yet still haven't shared exactly what's going on physically. We're all going through valleys, a loss that keeps you up at night, anxiety that follows you up at work, family tensions that won't ease up, a fear of the future that won't let go. Here's my question to all of you this morning. What is it that's keeping you up at night? Well, I've got some good news for you. Whatever it is, whatever valley you're going through right now, or whatever valley you've been through, or whatever valley you're going through, it is our shepherd Jesus that is our refuge from the dangers in the valley. So let me give you three ways to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Number one, see the valley as part of the journey. See the valley as part of your story. Can I say something this morning that is very true and biblical? That life has peaks and life has valleys, and both are a part of God's plan. Amen. That was a good spot for an amen, because that is the truest statement you'll hear all day. Life is a part, that life includes both valleys and mountains. And that if we'll consider these as part of our journey, even in our darkest valley, we can understand that God is there with us. He is guiding us down the bright path. He's teaching us along the way. All of the valleys that I've been through in my life, I can tell you that I look back and say, wow, that's amazing. God taught me so much. God led me through this. God has shown me how much He loves me through this valley. It was difficult, but God was there. And He'll never leave us or forsake us. Can I give you four truths about dark valleys? Number one, dark valleys are dreadful. Amen. Does anybody ever wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm so excited today. I'm really praying for a car accident. I really believe this is the day. It's going to happen. God, I can't wait. All right, and I hope the person that hits me doesn't have insurance. That'd be fantastic. Nobody does that. Nobody wakes up and says, I just hope I get a flat tire on the way to work. It'd be just great. I'm just hoping it all works out, you know. They're dreadful. Amen. I like good days. Amen. I like smooth days. I like smooth sailing. I like money in the bank, no problems, good job, like the boss, he likes me, all of that stuff. Dark valleys are dreadful. Notice the statement, he says, even though. That's why I chose the ESV, because even in these two words, it reveals that David is dreading it. I'm sure that David didn't say, even though. I think he probably said, even though. I don't like it. It's not my favorite. I'm not excited about it. Even though dark valleys are unavoidable, they are going to happen. In fact, Jesus was very realistic about this. In John chapter number 16, verse 33, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will. You will have suffering in this world. But be courageous. I've overcome the world. Church family, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when it's going to happen. You are going to have difficulty. You are going to have disappointment. You are going to have discouragement. You are going to have suffering. It's not a matter of if. You're going to have sorrow. You're going to experience sickness. All of us here this morning at one time or another are going to experience frustration and failure and fatigue. These are a normal part of life. Don't be surprised. They're unpredictable. Amen? You can't plan for these things. In fact, most of the time they happen at the worst time when you don't have time and you're unprepared. Anybody ever had a flat tire on the way to work when you're already late? Amen, right? I mean, it's like, you know, worst possible time. It's like, really? Really? You know, you ever said that to God, really? You just got to laugh sometimes. It's like, wow, okay, I get it. I need to slow down and trust you because, God, you must be teaching me something because this is the worst time for this to happen. You're never prepared for these things. Dark valleys are dreadful. But have you noticed how easily a good day can turn into a bad day? Anybody ever notice how quickly that can happen? I mean, you can be having a great day, but then the phone call comes. I'm having a great day, but then the text message. I'm having a great day, but then the freak accident. I'm having a great day, but then the doctor's appointment and the news I wasn't expecting to hear. Valleys just happen. Number two, dark valleys are deep. Even though I walk. Can I draw your attention to that word walk? It doesn't say even though I run. It doesn't say run. Hey, listen, everybody listen. You better take your time going through the valley because it ain't ending quick. Valleys don't come and go as quick as we'd like for them to come and go. Sometimes they last days, sometimes weeks, sometimes months, sometimes years. In fact, sometimes the answer comes after you die and go to heaven. And sometimes you find out the answer when you get to heaven. I walk through the valleys. Oh, listen, it's so interesting here because valleys are deep and valleys take time to get through. No one is immune from the valley and no one escapes the problems of life. And what's powerful is this thought. It doesn't mean you're a bad person because you go through a valley. What it means is, and I hope you're ready for this deep theological statement, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means you're a person. Amen. That's just the truth. It just means I'm a human being because everybody, it rains on the just and it also happens to rain on the unjust. Number three, dark valleys are departing. He said, even though I walk, can I get an amen for through? Amen, amen for through. Through means every valley is meant to be exited. Through means every valley has an exit sign on the way out. Dark valleys are temporary. They were not meant to last forever. They have an end. They're like a tunnel. You ever been driving in midday and you come upon a tunnel? And it kind of shocks you. You're like, whoa, how long is this thing? And you go in that tunnel. What do you got to do? You got to turn on your headlights to see through the tunnel. And I always think when I'm in the tunnel, man, so if an earthquake happens, what does that look like for me? You know, so when I think that, I usually go a little faster. Thinking I got to get there. And then I'm going through this tunnel and I see light at the end of the tunnel and I get through the tunnel and I feel always better. That's every valley you go through. Amen. It's like a tunnel. It has an end. Troubles in your life did not come to stay. They come to pass. Need some scripture? 1 Peter 5:10. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, will himself establish, will himself strengthen, will himself support you after you've suffered for a little while. Can I get an amen for a little while? Amen. Amen. Now, the little while doesn't tell us how long a little while is because a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. So don't get too excited about that little while. Because with God, a little while, we don't exactly know how long it is. We just know this, we're getting through it. And finally, dark valleys are designed for our benefit. You might be thinking this morning, preacher, how could this be for my benefit? Even though I walk through, here it is, the valley of the shadow of death. Did you know that valleys are formed by erosion? Isn't that interesting? As the waters of rivers erode the banks, those rivers are formed, and we too are shaped like those valley, like those rivers in the valley. Faith is built in the valleys of life. Therefore, and because of that, God has a reason for taking you through the dark valleys. There are financial reasons. There are emotional reasons. There are relationship reasons. There's all kinds of different reasons why we go through the valleys, and you will get through every single one of them. God will shape and build your life in the valleys of life. God shapes your character in the dark places. That's where your character is strengthened. I am who I am today as your pastor because of the valleys. Because of the tough times. Because of the times I felt like quitting and didn't. Because of the times I couldn't see why but didn't give up. Because of the times that I kept on praying till the light break through, because I knew the Lord would answer me if I would just keep on walking through the valleys. You'll get through them. 1 Peter chapter 1 says this. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse number 6 and 7. Thank you. You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, even though, there it is again, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which through, though perishable, is refined, is molded, is made in the fire, it's going to result in hello, peace, hello, love, hello, joy. I mean, it's coming. It's coming. It's going to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can I tell you how many difficult things I've been through in my life, in my family, my wife, my children? And I now can say, praise the Lord God, you had it all planned out. You worked it out, and God, we're better because of it. Wow. I can have joy knowing that God is in control in the valley. It's part of your story. It's part of your journey. Number two, stand firm against fear. Stand firm. That's right. Stand firm. Bow up. Get tough. I mean, amen. God's got this. Pay close attention here. The picture we get here in this verse, verse 23, is that the picture we get is that sheep aren't frightened as they pass through the valley of the shadow of death. That's the picture we get. I mean, the sheep, David is saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. That's the picture I get. It's clearly stated in Scripture, he's not afraid of the valley because he's following the shepherd. Number one, three practices to follow to stand firm against fear. Refuse to be discouraged. When David says the words, I will, it implies a choice. It implies a decision. You and I must make the choice, I will not fear. I will overcome the problems with God's help. I will walk through this valley. I will choose not to fear. Fear is a choice. Fear is a choice. I will fear no evil means you refuse to let fear rule you. It's not going to happen. I mean, the Bible even tells us, don't fear man. Fear the shepherd. Fear God. Trust him. If you're discouraged today, it's because you're choosing to be discouraged. You're making that choice. You can choose not to be discouraged. How? By focusing on God's power rather than by focusing on your problem. God's power can overcome any fear. This is what we learn in an ancillary verse found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 and verse 11. Listen. So that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. I love that. Growing in the knowledge of God. By the way, that's what we're doing right now. The fact that you came to church this morning, you decided I'm going to grow in my knowledge of God. I want to sit under a little preaching, and then I'm going to go deeper later on. I'm going to get in a spark huddle where I can be accountable. I'm going to get in a lighthouse where I can grow with others. I mean, this is what it's all about. Being strengthened with all power according. I love this because it's like the verse reads like an explosion. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience joyfully. It's like, wow, God's power will strengthen me. Why? So that I will not give up when troubles come. I'll just be patient. I think back to one of the most trying times of my life was the 5 years that we went through when we were following the shepherd through the transition of our church. It was painful. I mean, it was painful watching people leave. It was painful watching the finances fall apart. It was painful not being able to pay staff. It was painful not being able to pay bills. It was painful being 30 days away from foreclosure. It was painful. I mean, I'm telling you, if there was ever a time I would have answered a call to another church, it was that 5 years. It had been much easier to bail and just leave it with the church. You guys figured out, I'm out of here. I'm going to go take the easy route. It would have been easier. But I couldn't, because the shepherd said, stay with it. Stay in the valley. And I kept thinking, well, how long is this valley going to be? And it kept lasting. The college went from 300 to 30, but in 5 years. The school went from 150 to 50 in 5 years. The church went from 1,500 to 700 in 5 years. The finances fell apart. We had no money ever. We were going under. I didn't understand it. There were times when I said, God, I don't get this. Why would you? Am I really following? Is this really what you have? Am I doing the right thing? I'm trying to lead softly and lovingly and carefully. But God, this is painful. And all the while, God is teaching me how to pastor. God is teaching me how to love the next generation. God is teaching me how to care for the elderly as they are trying to come to grips with transitions and music and translations and denominations and how all this works. I mean, just the sheep. I mean, I'm dumb, you're dumb, we're all dumb. We're just trying to follow the smart guy. That's the shepherd. Amen. And I oftentimes felt like an idiot. But I just knew I was following the shepherd. I come out of that valley and all of a sudden the school's got a few more students and the college has got a few more students and the church has got a few more members. And now 10 years after that, the school has a record enrollment this semester. The college will have over 1,000 students this year enrolled in Champion. The church has 4 campuses. The budget is triple what it's ever been in the history. And I'm like, God, I don't get it, but I'm glad I didn't quit. I'm glad I didn't fold up. I'm glad I didn't walk away. I'm glad I didn't throw my morals away. I'm glad I just looked. It wasn't easy, God. I didn't like it. And I don't want to do it again, okay? But I'm living out what David taught. It's so true. So make the choice. I'm going to let God patiently, with great endurance, get me through this. That's what Colossians 1 teaches. Refuse to be discouraged. Number 2, remember the enemy is a shadow. Fear no evil. You know something about fear? Fear is a shadow that looks bigger than reality. It really is. I mean, the things that I have feared in my life oftentimes ended up being like no big deal. And I stressed and I went to the doctor and I took a pill and I'm just exaggerating to make a point. And I try, and the whole time it was like, wow, if I'd have just trusted Jesus, I could have avoided a lot of medical bills. I could have avoided a lot of days off. I could have avoided a lot of depression. Shadows cannot hurt you, but fear can paralyze you. Think about it. Shadows can't hurt you. They can only scare you. I will fear no evil. No wonder David could say that in the valley of the shadow of death. Because he understood that the enemy is just a shadow. Number 3, remain near the shepherd. Remain near. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The presence of the shepherd is what makes the difference. The greatest comfort in the valley is the presence of the shepherd. That's the greatest comfort. Think about Psalm 23:4 again. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For, look at those next 4 words. You are with me. Amen. Amen. God never leaves us, does he? All these promises in the book of and in the Bible that teach us that he's a very present help in time of need. He will never leave us or forsake us. The Lord is my shepherd. And what's interesting here, and by the way, just so you'll know, I am no English teacher, but I did notice in verse 4, there's a great change in the language here. It's pretty interesting. Because up to this point, all the pronouns in Psalm 23 are in the third person. It says, he leads, he restores. Just talking about God and the fact that God is God and he is God and he leads and he restores. But now the language changes in verse 4 from the third person to the second person. You are with me. Your rod, your staff. All of a sudden, the ultimate God becomes the intimate shepherd. It's beautiful. David talks not about God. Now David talks actually to God. You see, the difference in the valley is not the absence of the shepherd, but it's the presence, or rather the absence of the shadow, but the presence of the shepherd. That's the difference. It's not the absence of the shadow. The shadow is there. It's the fact that you know the presence of the shepherd gives you peace in the valley. The shepherd did not bring you this far to leave you. Don't give up. He's with you. For those of you old hymn lovers, remember this one. All the way my Savior leads me. Who have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercies? Who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divine is comfort here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. He makes no mistakes. Hey, sometimes when I'm preparing these sermons, some old hymn comes to my mind and it just comes back like I was singing it 30 years ago. Wow, the richness of music written in the past and in the present. Isn't worship music one of the most peaceful things to listen to when you're going through the valley? Oh, it's powerful. Job 23:10 says, yet he knows the way I have taken, and when he has tested me, I will emerge as pure gold. Wait till you see me when I get out of this thing. I may look beaten up right now, but when I come out of this thing, you're going to be like, what happened to him? The valley. Tough time. Oh, yeah. It'll do something for you. It'll make you stronger. Yeah. Let's review, and we're done. Number one, see the valley as part of the journey. Number two, stand firm against fear. Number three, and in closing, seek comfort in God's protection. Seek comfort in God's protection. Look at this in the text. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What is that? What is a rod? What is a staff? Well, I brought with me a staff that was given to me by a dear friend that I've had in my office and keep with me. And one of these days, oh yeah, I come upon this platform. Open your Bibles. Hey, listen to me. Oh, sorry about that. That's what crazy preachers do. No wonder Park Place thinks I'm a wild man. Oh, man, you just got to believe it to see it. Oh, hallelujah. And I want to say to all those listening online, think about it. Oh, man, I love it. I love it. Thank you for your patience. Oh, man, how many will never forget this moment? Yeah. My soul. Oh, my goodness. I've got to keep myself organized preaching all these different messages on Sundays. But thank you. But that old staff there. I learned some things about the rod and the staff as I was studying this passage that were just fascinating. I have them for you on the screen. That the rod is basically 2 feet long. I heard Josh talking about this as he was teaching a little bit in the earlier parts of the message. And he mentioned the rod is as a shorter than the staff. It's 2 feet long. It has a little knob on the end. And it's made, I don't know if he mentioned this, but from the trunk of a tree. It's very strong. It's very hard. In fact, David could use this as a missile. How many of you have ever watched The House of David? Has anybody watched that? If you haven't watched The House of David, stop watching Netflix crazy stuff and give me 8 sessions of The House of David. It's powerful. It leads you through David's life from as a shepherd in the field to killing Goliath. And you'll understand how David was able to kill bears and lions. Because David understood how important it is to have a rod and a staff when you're trying to protect your sheep from the enemy. And so David would use these weapons to protect the flock, the staff. The staff was a long stick with a hook on the end of it. And this little staff was used to draw sheep out of a ditch or to pull them closer to the shepherd's side. If a sheep got in the ditch and those little knobbly legs couldn't get out, they'd roll over, as Brother Back said, and they'd be cast. And David would have to use this to get them up. Get over here, boy. Get over here. Notice how I stayed away from the pulpit this time. Safer on this side. Listen, you learned a lot of things in the valley. I'm telling you. It's a valley moment, and it didn't last very long, praise God. But you pull that sheep out with this staff. What's interesting is there's so much to learn about this staff, because we see that David, when he gave his resume to Saul as to why David should go fight Goliath, remember, everybody was shocked. What are you talking about, David? You're just a ruddy little shepherd boy. He says, let's go. Where is that 9'6" dude? I'll kill him. And David's just this little ruddy shepherd boy. But look what David says to Saul. It's fascinating. You'll find it in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. David answers Saul, your servant has been tending his father's sheep. And whenever a lion or a bear came and carried off a lamb from the flock, I went after it. I struck it down with the rod and the staff and rescued the lamb from its mouth. And if it reared up against me, I would grab it by its fur, strike it down with the rod and the staff and kill it. Man, this boy was, he meant business. Can you imagine? How do you read that verse any other way but the way I just read it? I mean, seriously. This is so courageous, because David is picturing himself as he reads this and writes this psalm as a shepherd with his sheep. And he did kill a lion and he did kill a bear, but there's so much for us here today. By the way, I don't recommend you trying that at home, okay? But I do have a recommendation, and that is this. What does the rod and the staff represent for us today? I'm convinced it represents the powerful word of God and the ever-living spirit of God. Listen, the rod and the staff are used for these 4 things. Very clearly in everything that I studied. Number 1, used for defense. Used for defense against predators. That's what you use the rod and the staff for. Defense. Keep the sheep away. I mean, keep the wolves and the lions and the bears and any predator. Used for discovery. You would take that rod or that staff and you would work through that wool to try to find insects or skin disease or something that was harming the sheep underneath its furry wool that was giving it a disease or causing it to itch. So you would use the staff to discover where to put on the balm to give that sheep some relief. You also would take that staff, and I read this, I thought this was beautiful, where you'd put it over the shepherd as he was taking the sheep into the fold. He would put it over the gate, and as the sheep would come into the fold, he would count 1, 2, 3, 4 as they're walking under the shepherd's staff. 5, 6, 7, 99. I got to leave these guys to go get that one. The shepherd would use the staff to discover if all the sheep got back to the fold. Isn't that awesome? It was used for discovery. It was used for discipline. That's what the curved tip is for on the staff, to discipline the sheep. Sometimes the rod was used for discipline. It was useful in rescuing a fallen sheep or a lost sheep. It was used for direction, guiding and pointing and walking. Think about this for just a minute. What does God use in your life today as a believer to guide you and to correct you? Can somebody guess? The Word of God. And what else does God use to correct you and to guide you and to discipline you? The conviction of the Holy Spirit. So figuratively speaking, not literally a rod and a staff, but figuratively speaking, today I am preaching to you the ever-living Word of God. It's a sharper than a sword. It's powerful. Oh, listen, this is why we need to stay in the book. This is why we need to trust the Holy Spirit's leadership and respond to his conviction. Because as a child of God, one of the ways that you know you're saved is you are chastened by the Holy Spirit and corrected by him when you go astray. It is the Word of God. It is the Spirit of God that directs us and defends us and discovers the sin in our lives and disciplines us when we need it. And that is so comforting to know. Let me close with this. It's obvious that all of us are going to go through valleys. It's obvious. You know how I know that? Because I've pastored this church for 33 years, and Christians have disappointments. Christians get sick. Christians experience tragedies. Christians lose loved ones. Christians have financial problems. Christians have cancer. God's people have family problems. Believers go through valleys just like everyone else, right? So what's the difference? What's the difference between a believer going through a valley and an unbeliever going through a valley? It's the presence of the shepherd. The shepherd says, I love you. The shepherd whispers, I care about you. The shepherd says, I know your name. The shepherd says, I've given my life for you. The great shepherd says, I have a purpose for you. I have a plan for you. Fear no evil, for I am with you. That's the difference. I'd like to ask our worship team to come up as I close the message. And as they come, would you for just a moment meditate with me as we respond? You will go through valleys. Everyone does. No one is immune. And knowing that, you don't have to be alone. You don't have to face your fears without the shepherd. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be defeated. You can choose. You can choose to fear no evil by knowing that God is with you. So three things. See the valley as part of your journey. Choose that. Choose to see the valley. Even though I walk through the valley, it's part of my journey. My wife's illness is part of my journey. Our special needs kid is part of our journey. The church almost going under is part of our journey. You know, a little cancer on the head and getting, you know, part of the journey. My dad and mom getting divorced when I was 3, part of the journey. Not easy. It was a valley. Still is sometimes. Blended family, part of the journey. Everything you've been through that's been tough, it's part of your story. And God's going to use it in ways that you can't imagine if you don't quit. See the valley as part of the journey. Stand firm against fear with faith. Stand firm against fear with faith. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Determine. Make the decision. Make the choice. Stand firm. Believe. Stretch out that rod over the Red Sea and believe God's going to part this thing. God's got it. He's in control. He means everything for my good. But Pastor, I don't like the valley. I don't either. Don't get the impression. I like it. I don't like it. But I'm going to trust God through it because I know I'm going to come forth as gold. And then seek comfort in his protection. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. How many of you like to be comforted? Amen. Nothing like comfort. And sometimes the most comforting times in my life has been when God has had to correct me and to get me off a path that was leading to destruction. The most comfort I've ever had in my life was when I realized that I'm a dirty, rotten sinner and I can't save myself. And I put myself at the foot of the cross and said, Jesus, I'm tired of trying to work my way to heaven. I'm just going to give my life to you and follow you all the days of my life. And ever since that day, I've been dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, and goodness and mercy has been following me every day. It's incredible. We'll get to that next week. And so if there's anybody in this building who does not know Jesus as their Savior, would you lay it all, give everything to him today and say, God, I need your comfort. I need your strength. And I can only get that through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. Be saved today. If you need to come and pray, the altars will be open. We're going to pray for Teen Revolution, I know, with parents after the service. But I encourage you teens to come forward now and let someone just put their hand on. I can assure you, I see Mike and Tammy here and Josh and Tiffany, and I see people that are Austin. We'll come right behind you and pray over you if you come. Hey, listen. The most powerful tool known to mankind is prayer. Prayer is the power of God in action. Don't miss an opportunity to get prayed over today if God's leading you to come. And then if anyone else just needs to pray where you're seated or just worship, you respond as God would have you to. I just want you to know we're here for you if you need us. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you so much for this service and for what you're doing in this series. Lord, thank you for being our great shepherd. Lord Jesus, I tell you, I don't know what other valleys you have for me. I mean, I feel like I'm walking through a few right now, but I do feel as if, Lord, some of them I'm coming through and I'm experiencing, Lord, the growth from those valleys. But God, I know there's more coming. And I just pray, Father, that you'd help me to remember my own sermons. Help me, God, to not just preach these from my mouth, but live these in my heart. God, I needed this sermon as much as anybody else in this building. Father, may we read through that prayer list that comes in our email box every Tuesday differently now. May we understand that so many people are hurting and they need the shepherd and they need our prayers. So help us, Father, to be faithful. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand together? Come as you're led.